Today we're talking about God's promise or being established. And the writer points, this is a paragraph out of your study guide. Tell me what you think about it. It says, we want to feel that our lives have made a difference. We want our efforts to leave behind something that is both lasting and good, a change for the better. Nevertheless, most of our works will one day be lost in the dust. This does not mean that the work was not worth the effort. It only means that we should not delude ourselves about it being permanent. Do you agree or disagree with that?
We learn those kind of things about people when you go to the funeral.
Mm-hmm.
So some of the things that we do that we hope that we've made a difference, we will never really know. I guess the realistic. I mean, we've all been to people's funerals, but they've been mentors, they've been leaders, and they've affected your life. But we didn't take the time in our life to tell those people those things, or thank them for doing that, or, you know, helping us make the right decisions. Does that make sense? So does that go with what you just read?
Yeah. But do we strive for success too much sometimes?
Yeah. We all want to be the perfect mother, the perfect wife, the perfect, and there's nobody's perfect.
But do we ever do it in a way that we're trying to bring the attention to us and make us feel good?
Yeah. We do in some ways, yeah.
And do we ever have, let's say, during our lifetime, our lifespan, think that we have done this, we've done a lot of good works, but then do we sit down and have our pity party that, was it worth it?
I mean...
Yeah, I think we all look back at our regret. We all have regret for things that we have said or actions that we've done.
Yeah.
And we don't. Sometimes we don't realize we've done all that until you do get by yourself and your conscience that you start remembering, I shouldn't have said that, or I should have done this instead of that, and. Then you do have regrets, and
some people even don't do that.
Yeah, some folks will remind you.
Yeah,
some people don't mind reminding you what you've done
over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And over.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it's easy. What's the saying? You can forgive, but it sure is hard to forget.
Yeah. But in the lesson today, I mean, David, he's now settled in as king. this isn't part of the verse, but, I mean, David mentions to Nathan, he's talking about, here I am living in a palace of cedar, but the ark of God remains in a tent. David's thoughts that the tent, the ark of the covenant, maybe should have a higher place setting than what I've accomplished. But as the lesson goes along, Nathan tells David, you know, whatever you've got in mind, go ahead and do it, because the Lord is with you. But God spoke to Nathan in a dream. And this is in verse 5, it says, are you the one to build me a house to dwell in? He says, I have not dwelt in a house from the day I brought the Israelites up out of Egypt to this day. He says, I've been moving from place to place with a tent as my dwelling. Wherever I have moved with all the Israelites, did I ever say to any of their rulers whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, why have you not built me a house of cedar? that he says, tell David, this is what the Lord Almighty says. I took you from the pasture and from following the flock to be the ruler over my people Israel. And he says, I've been with you wherever you've gone, and I've cut off all your enemies before you. Now I will make your name great like the names of the greatest men of the earth. And I will provide a place for my people Israel and will plant them so they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed. God speaking to David through another person. You know, yes, David, you are the king, and my words is, yes, I appreciate your thoughts of wanting to build the ark and a temple for the ark and place it in, but that's not what I'm for. I've been with you all this time, and I will be with my people of Israel. That's what he brought David here for. If you were David and you had those dreams or you had that plan, would it, if you heard that word, would it diminish your walk? Would it diminish your meaningful, maybe thinking, well, Lord, you placed me here and now I want to do something, but you're just sort of like pulling the rug out from under my feet. You don't want me to do this.
That's kind of like in our day-to-day life when we think, well, what we've come up with is better than what he's come up with.
Mm-hmm.
The question, you know, why can't we do this, when at the end of the day, his plan is still the best plan. It's just, at that time, we don't think it is. We can do it faster, do it more. We're a little bit more productive, maybe, in our minds. And we have to remember, like Joy always says, it's always in his time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But do you like David, or do we like David, ever stop and think, have I done enough for the work of the Lord? Or here I am sitting in my home, and I look around it, and I start dreaming about a bigger home, more rooms, more this. I'm not content where I'm at. Is that God's purpose in our life, for us to want and have all those riches? David, quote, if you want to say, he had followed God's leadership. It won't say he had it made, but David was at peace now. I mean, he is the king. David has gone through a lot of hardships. I mean, we've talked in earlier lessons. He had to run and hide from Saul a lot because Saul was out after him. He lost his best friend, Jonathan. But throughout this, God's plan is working in his life. He is now the king of Israel. He is God's leader. But in our daily walk, in our relationship with the Lord, should it be that, is it a natural progression that we gain more knowledge and gain more understanding each and every day, and then we want to do more things to please him? Or does it just come all at once? And do you get uneasy because nothing's happening?
It should be. The more we read, the more knowledge we gain, the more we, mm-hmm. know, the natural progression of it, rather than to jump all in at one time to be disappointed.
It's kind of like, it seems like all the bad things are here today, so you pray real hard all day long for this, all these bad things to get better, and sometimes they do and sometimes they don't, and then you get toward the end of the week and you've had a really good week, and nothing's really bad, so you don't pray about the goodness, the blessings that you've received all week. That took us from the bad day that we were having to the other. And this with David, and make does it come about to the fact that, I mean, we are, the Ark of the Covenant, it deserves, to me, it would have deserved to be in a finer place than a tent because of what it represents. You know what I'm saying? It's kind of like, you know, you don't see leaders or presidents, but you don't see them living in a two-room house. They are, well, you're talking about the Lord, but I mean, what it's representing to us and how it's going to make our lives different. And you just assume it wouldn't be in a tent. It would be somewhere
in the finest of the finest.
Because of the way he is. I mean, he represents perfect perfection and the best. And that's what he wants for us. So why would we not want to put him, put that where it is the best?
True. But God has had a better plan, a much larger plan. If you're David and you're the king, probably your thought process would be, how can I expand this? How can I make it grow? But God is going to show him and teach him. God had a better plan in place. He was not going to build mansions. He was going to build, if you want to call it, for better words, a dynasty. But it's his dynasty that would reign forever. Because he did establish, it tells us if we read starting in verse 11, or we go back, it says, wicked people will not oppress them anymore as they did at the beginning and have done ever since the time I appointed leaders over my people Israel. I will also give you rest from all your enemies. It says, the Lord declares to you that the Lord himself will establish a house for you. When your days are over and you rest with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, who will come from your own body, and I will establish the kingdom. He says, he is the one who will build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. God is creating, if you want to say, the house of David, and then David's descendants would follow along. When you read in there and in the scriptures, it tells us God and David were going to have like a father-son relationship. In families, not every family, but in a lot of families, if let's say the father is a great businessman, owns his own company, typically that follows down the line once they die, goes to the children. A lot of times it doesn't happen that way. But this is God's plan. He's not doing it, quote, to pat himself on the back, but he is establishing his leadership over the earth so that it would go on. He is building, if you want to call it a house or a dynasty, that's going to last forever. And that's still true today. Who's in charge? Is David, while he's here on earth, was he in charge or was he operating under God's leadership?
Well, poor old David, it depended sometimes on what day he was. Because, you know, he did have a few things in his life that was really questionable.
Well.
But it's the same thing with us today. It is according to what day or what mood or whatever. If I make a decision, I'm going to take care of it. You know, I'm going to do it by myself.
Mm-hmm.
Versus we all know that a lot of times that gets us in deep trouble. We need to go and ask for guidance and direction. You know, and we don't have what David did, the direct pipeline or the dreams. I mean, I don't know that people have those kind of dreams anymore, that the Lord comes to them and speaks to them. We have the scriptures and Amen, and I guess the dreams and the prophets in their lives to help them make the correct decisions, mm-hmm. or to follow the leadership.
Mm-hmm. Because in God speaking to David, and in the scriptures, we should understand he's telling David, he starts, "I will." He says, "I will make your name great, like the names of the greatest men on earth." And he says, "I will provide a place for my people Israel and plant them so they can have a home of their own and no longer be disturbed." And he goes on saying, "I will also give you rest from all of your enemies. And I will raise up your offspring to succeed you, your own flesh and blood, and I will establish the kingdom. I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be his father, and he will be my son. When he does wrong, I will punish him with a rod wielded by men, with floggings inflicted by human hands, but my love will never be taken away from him." And he says, "Your house and your kingdom will endure forever before me. Your throne will be established forever." So God has prepared David. He is creating this for him. But it's not you, David. It's me. I'm doing this. I'm creating, quote, we call it this dynasty, the Davidic line of leadership as it goes along. And I thought it was interesting in some of the readings is a lot of people refer to in the line of lineage that Jesus is the son of David. Now, would that confuse you? Jesus is the Son of God. But looking at this, God established this all along. David is one of his leaders. So yes, at some point when God sent Jesus to the earth, he did come from the lineage of David. So in terms, you could say there is a little bit of that he could be called a son of David in the lineage part.
What the lineage through Mary?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But if we go back and look at all the ways that he told David, I will, establishing this, since he's proud of David. He knows David is a good leader. If he wasn't, why would God do all these works for David? As it goes on, it says that David had good characteristics. If we look in verses 18, it says, David went back in and sat before the Lord, and he said, "Who am I, O sovereign Lord, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? As if this were not enough in your sight, O sovereign Lord, you have also spoken about the future of the house of your servant. Is this your usual way of dealing with man, O sovereign Lord?" Is he expressing praise to God? That he's recognizing now that God is really the attention of all of this, quote, love and affection. And he does believe God's word for the future, that greater blessings are coming. Because verse 20 says, what more can David say to you? For you know your servant, O sovereign Lord. For the sake of your word and according to your will, you have done this great thing and made it known to your servant. Think about in David's past, all the things he has gone through. Could you, if you were David and you had accomplished and done the things that he had done, could you have just sort of put yourself up on a pedestal and it's all about me and just forget about God? I mean, does that happen a lot? Sometimes maybe in, not saying the life of the church, but do churches sometimes lose their focus in that instead of doing what the Lord wants us to do, saving the lost, witnessing, no, we think we need to build this majestic palace with all the bells and whistles because we know people are going to come. Where do you draw the line there? But we know, and it is true in church life, if a person is searching for a church home, let's say, and maybe they have small children in their family, where are they going to go? Are they going to go to a church that doesn't provide the necessities for small kids? Or are they going to go to the place that provides that? But I think this is where we, if we call it God's house, we have to keep like this lesson today in our minds. We should keep it in perspective, so to speak. We're still doing the work of the Lord. It's not about the building. It's about Him. I thought this was interesting. It kind of closes out the lesson. This is in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 2. David is talking to Solomon, and he tells him, do not be hasty to speak, and do not be impulsive to make a speech before God. Let your words be few. Can we sometimes speak too much about our faith, our religion, that it would offend someone? Or should we be like this? If I'm going to talk to you about my faith and your faith, let my words be few. I'm not going to overboard you. What if, going back to the beginning of this lesson, when David wanted to build a palace for the Ark of the Covenant, when Nathan came back to him and told him, now, this is what the Lord said. What if David had taken it upon himself, I don't care what he says, this is what I want to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. Where would David have been in God's plan then? Could we say that David wasn't hasty and wanting to do what he wanted to do and build a palace for the Ark of the Covenant, but through God's love and understanding and teachings, he taught him, yes, I understand why you would want to do that, but that's not what I want. What I want for you is your love and your leadership over my people for the days of your life. So when we think about God's promises, what does he really promise us? A bed of roses. Life is always going to be good.
No problems.
Don't you think David is matured enough to realize that all of the mistakes that had occurred in his life, if he had just listened to the Lord to start off with, he wouldn't have been in all the mess that he got himself into. You know, and so
yeah, but I'm
to the point in his life, one, that he might be more patient, and two, that he is willing to listen because he does realize. It's kind of in our lives, you know, you get to the point, you start looking back and thinking, how did we ever make it? How did we ever get to this point? How did we, you know, and then you start looking back at the blessings, and you know that there was someone in your life that was, I guess, keeping you on the right track, I guess you could say. I mean, we all fall off, and we all make mistakes, and we all sin, but we all have the assurance. One
that we're going to be forgiven. And it's like a clean slate. Every day is a new day. But that's when we have to make the choices. And it just makes you wonder if David, I mean, he's listening. Yeah. This is kind of a thought question. Have you ever had an instance in your life where God just left you speechless? And like David, if you were going to pray to God and you were caught in that moment, is it a good way to begin a prayer with, who am I? Because like the song, who am I, that you love, you know, but Lord, who am I that you would do this in my life? Or who am I that you would put me in this position? But one last thing is, what is the relationship between humility and thankfulness? If I do a good deed for you, do something for you, are you thankful that I did that? Do you accept it with grace and say, to the point that not feeling that I need to do something for you then? But on the flip side, are you humble enough to do something for somebody and not want to be accoladed?
Sometimes it's kind of hard to let somebody do something for you. You just, I mean, you know, I have to go back and think, well, don't rob them of their blessing. If they're supposed to do it, they're going to be blessed, and I should accept it. But sometimes that's hard. I'm in heaven, you know.
Yeah. I mean, in sicknesses and things, you know, somebody, let me do this for you, or let me come over and do this. No, you don't have to, but, you know, I understand what you're saying. Is it, it's not wrong for us to kind of say, well, no, you don't have to. But on the other side, like Annette said, are they doing that out of their humble spirit? They just feel like they need to do it for you.
Then don't you think, God, if they do something for you, you kind of think, and you accept it with grace and humility, that everybody needs somebody sometime in their life. Everybody. I mean, you do need somebody. We all do. So we don't know that I do something for you and you accept it. Down the road, I'm going to need something. And of all people, you'll be the first person to step up and return the favor, or you'll return it, but it won't be returned like that. you know, you'll just be at the right place at the right time where I have that need, and you're there, and I accept it. So it's kind of like, and you're not saying payback,
mm-hmm.
but you just sort of think, when I've done something for one person down the road, I might need something too. And then, you know, so we kind of, I think, and the Lord, it puts things in our lives that we're able to do that and don't think anything about it. You just happen to be there, and that's what I needed at that time. And I didn't look at it as like, you know, we're paying or anything. It's just what I needed at that moment. So, and we all have that happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, little things. You don't have
so many people have done so much for me. And I don't understand it, but I know it's God's goodness through them.
Yep. I mean, you don't expect it, so to speak. But like David, you know, he wanted to do something great, but God appreciated that. But he had to humble David a little bit to say, you know, yes, the Ark of the Covenant is important, but my kingdom is more important, and I want you to be a part of that. So
David went off the smart man to find, he realized today, and he called me and said,
mm-hmm.
sometimes I wonder if we'll get that call and if we'll become a humble enough to
yeah. Well, he really listened yeah. to that moment, mm-hmm. and that, mm-hmm. we're all guilty of that, but he really listened to what God was telling him. I mean, even though he told him he appreciated this, you don't have to build a cedar house, you know. Well, I'm fortunate, I have the money, I have the help, I'm going to do it anyway. But he didn't. He listened to what God was trying to put in, to tell him that how it was going to work
mm-hmm.
all the years down the road for us. So, I mean, it's like you said a while ago, what if it's here, though? You know, and I think we're guilty of not listening.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's a lot of fault for the injuries.
Mm-hmm. Words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer.